It is hard to be a person, my friend said. Maybe you know what that means. Maybe you know how hard it is to hold too many commitments, too many deadlines, too many people's bruised feelings, too much pressure, too few hours in a day. It is hard to be a person, my friend said, and her next thought was, thank God for our congregation. Does that surprise you? Is it news that, like the dragon reaching forward to be noticed, my friend felt relief, safety, reprieve, strength, and even hope at the thought of being together in a congregation? I think that it doesn't. Our hands are the only hands that love has. And I want to tell you what love's hands look like. The hands of this congregation have sat by hospital beds, have sat with love and worry, have gathered together after tragedy, have served coffee. You and this congregation have joined one another in the deepest, most frightening times and in times of celebration. It is the place we can name our personal dragons and bear witness one to another. As Jennifer reflected to you last week, this is about love standing on the side of love, answering the call of love, opening our doors, opening our hearts, hanging a Black Lives Love banner, working with ACTS, showing up at immigration protests, writing our representatives, sponsoring a refugee family, attending a preemptive radical inclusivity workshop yesterday, hosting a gender identity conference, talking to people who are different from us, asking our youth to lead us, seeking their wisdom. These are just some of the ways that the hands of this congregation have held and loved and built and fed, and still are called to more. Because our hands are the only hands that love has. Love's hands can be just that straightforward concrete, pouring coffee, holding a hand. They also can be more complex. They can look like our struggle to make sense of our personal location within a political and economic system that is not just, that privileges some more than others. Love's hands can be that which looks forward to the next 2 years and begins to change and make plans to oppose the coming day's power structure and to replace or shore up those structures of our society that promote well-being. And yet that is such a monumental task. It is overwhelming. And I want to tell you today that that task may not be your primary one. We each have one job. We balance our need for self-care and folding socks with our commitment to social justice, to community, to congregation, to the future. We recognize together that we each have capacity and need for different ones of those at different times. We recognize that there are weeks or years when someone needs to just be here. To just be here. Hands in this congregation have held space for one another to share, to explore, and to wonder. Yesterday, a full 1/6, 20% of this congregation, spent 6 hours on the last warm Saturday of 2016 downstairs, exploring what it means to live radical inclusion in a preemptive way, what it means to plan ahead for inclusion. People looked at themselves and thought about what is it that we need to do to prepare our hearts to welcome the stranger, not just through the doorway, but into the full life of the congregation. Yesterday's workshop was not a technical workshop. There were no how-to lists. It was not a workshop about the 7 steps to seamless welcoming. It was a workshop about listening to one's heart and reflecting on the ways that we individually perceive the world and how that helps or hinders our ability to recognize and welcome the stranger. It was an adaptive workshop because being inclusive is an adaptive process. Because to be love's hands in the world, we have to have a plan. And to have a plan means gathering information and reflecting. We can't just jump into doing more of what we do already, the way we already do it, or change the one thing that we think we know needs to be changed based on what we already think, because if those things would be successful, we would have noticed. Increasing the capacity of this or any congregation to welcome and integrate new people into it is a monumental task of generosity and love that requires self-reflection, community listening, sharing, more listening, more reflection, and then a little experimentation. When we can learn from the mistakes we will inevitably make. And we do it because our hands are love's only hands. Today is a day that is marked across the country as International Transgender Day of Remembrance. It is an important day when we mark and honor those who have died by violence at the hand of others simply because of who they are. Today is a day when across this country, in congregation after congregation, we bear witness to the murders of trans folk, mostly trans women of color, nationally, internationally, and here at home. We've been marking this since 1999. And honestly, with the advent of the internet and social media, it has become more and more evident just how many people are killed because of their identity. Now, this may seem a jarring thing to mention in the middle of a sermon about wonderful congregations, but it is a true thing. And I believe that it is a thing our Unitarian Universalist congregations are uniquely positioned to bear witness to and respond. Since 2008, in the last 8 years, 146 trans and gender diverse people have been killed in North America, 23 in the United States this year. From Los Angeles to Burlington. This is only the tip of the iceberg for reasons that I won't go into here, but you can learn about elsewhere. The violence and daily discrimination that is directed at trans people, separate from this ultimate numbered observation, is unparalleled in this country. So, why on earth am I talking about this on this lovely snowy morning, the day after the last summer day, in a beautiful building surrounded by wonderful, amazing people? Because it is a dragon that we need to name, to pet, to tend, to bear witness to, and to bring healing. I believe that we are called to consider how we can respond to this moment in time, not simply in terms of national, state, and local politics and the threat to the very democracy of our nation, which is real and no doubt on your hearts today, but also where we have the most agency in this very congregation. In February, your congregation is hosting a gender identity conference. It's an opportunity for you to do that work of listening and reflecting, of listening more, of holding space for trans and gender nonconforming people, to make it evident in your larger community that this congregation is a safe and welcoming place for trans and gender nonconforming people to be witnessed, heard, supported, protected, and served, and to be given an opportunity to serve. When we reach out a hand to the stranger, we might call it ministry, or we might call it support, or we might call it the way I am changing the world today. We all come here to this space, whether for 50 years or for the very first day, open and scared, awkward and grateful in turn, to join, to listen, to love, to cry, to invite, to explore, to sigh. If we aren't in the room, we know that we've missed the opportunity to love and let others love us. People who are not in this room, who do not even know they are invited, miss this opportunity to love and let themselves be loved. We here gathered are made up of community, covenants, and promises that bind us together as Unitarian Universalists. The learning, the action, and the love of our hands. In my own life, after many, many years of exclusion and discrimination, of pain and violence, it was in a congregation like this one that I learned that I can love 200 people at once and let them love me back, and that my brain would not explode. In many ways, it was in a congregation that I learned to fully live, that I was to become the kind of person whose hands could surprise people with gifts of cookies or bacon or beer left on the back porch. My hands that held babies or children when they were crying, that took them from mothers out of the sanctuary so they could stay. These hands that could hug elders who I adore and don't hug babies and children and elders who don't want to be hugged because boundaries and consent. We do not actually, as Unitarian Universalists, need to know what one another's belief systems are to be in religious community. Our community does not require an agreement about the nature of the sacred. It does not require us to individually agree on whether or not there's something we call God, and if there is, whether or not it is self-aware. And if it is self-aware, whether or not it has any interest whatsoever in human affairs. Our gathering here in community and commitment and covenant does not require deep theological language. It requires our hands and our willingness. What we know is love of one another through our hands. I have a friend who says that her church is the Sunday New York Times crossword in Starbucks with a mocha cappuccino. Now, I think that that is a lovely way to spend a morning, or I would if I were like a Sunday Times crossword kind of smart, I think. But I don't think that it's religious community. The people in the coffee shop, as chatty and thoughtful as they are about today's headlines, are not going to be love's hands for one another in any sort of ongoing way. Love's hands are shared in this congregation in service, in stewardship, in support, and in doing even the intellectual and emotional explorations of theologies together. But that's not what we actually lead with. There is a myth, I'm sure you are familiar, that if you're UU, it doesn't matter what you believe. And I think that once we've been here a while, we understand that is a myth, and that is not at all what I have suggested. There is a big difference between it not mattering what we each believe and being able to choose our own beliefs, because what we believe matters deeply. It matters to us. It matters to the world, because that belief informs our choices and our actions, and it shapes how our hands love. And it is our joining together that shapes how our collective hands then love. And it is mostly true that the Unitarians really enjoy the thinking. Some of us are even good at it. We listen to NPR, we read the Huffington Post and the New Republic and The Economist or Forbes. We may discuss the relative merits of changing the tax code or solar versus water power. But it is not the theology or the intellectual deep thoughts that necessarily bring us here together, because all those conversations could happen in Starbucks. What we find here, specially, is an experience of love, compassion, and commitment. We bring our children here not because we will somehow magically teach them everything about our religion and all the world's religion in just a few matter of short years. We bring them here because it is here that they will learn to commit to a community and to know a community that will have their back, that will commit to them no matter what. It is here that they can be in relationship with people who choose to be in relationship with them, even when it's complicated or hard, when we are our most difficult selves. Because after all, two things can be true at once. We gather because we believe that being together is good, that what we can do is more and more together than apart, that we can be in a space on Sunday morning and be recharged, that we can love and let others love us. No congregation is made of magic. Even as we reflect on what this congregation is doing in the world, there are no laurels to rest upon. I'm an educator, and so it's always about growth. It's always about the next level. Love does not magically make things happen. This congregation is not run by magic people or magic money or heated and cooled by magic power sources. People do not walk through the doors and become suddenly perfect, because God knows it's hard to be a person. But we ourselves are love's hands. Gnarly and worn, arthritic and strong, soft and rough and gentle and inestimably beautiful. Hands that can reach out to the stranger and say, "Welcome. Tell me about your wild and precious life." Sometimes two things are true at once, says my friend. It's hard to be a person. Thank God for our congregation. "The dragon just needed to be noticed," said Billy. "In each moment," says Samuel, "love stands at our side, ready to be chosen." Amen.